www.thebridgeofchrist.com.
This morning, the message, "There will be no encore." And those words that you just saw on that graphic and on that video said this: Christ himself suffered for sins once for all. His suffering has power to redeem you, to make you right with God. He was not guilty in any way, but he suffered for all of us who are. The righteous one died for the unrighteous. He was put to death in the flesh, but was made alive in the spirit. He was raised to life on the third day. Now those words in that video were adapted from 1 Peter 3:18-22. You can look that up. It's just kind of a paraphrase a little bit. And then just added the closing line that's the theme for today: there will be no encore. Now, I'm guessing, and most, if not all of you, have been to some sort of big-time rock concert or country show or whatever kind of music you listen to, some big event where the main artist, like when they did their show, they played for like 90 minutes or so, and then they played their fake final song. You know, the one that they go, "Hey, good night, everyone, we're leaving the stage." They go off the stage. And yet, for some reason, the house lights don't come back up, and all the stage lights are still on, and but the band is off the stage, and nobody's leaving because everybody knows what's coming next. The encore, right? So they all start shouting or screaming or chanting, "One more song, one more song, one more song." Like they're waiting for the encore. And I was thinking about that idea of an encore after reading an article where someone quoted, of all things, a Simpsons episode. A Simpsons episode, right? So now, for the younger crowd here today, The Simpsons is a TV cartoon show, right? Just so that you're aware, it's about an obnoxious dude named Bart who gets into all kinds of trouble, and your parents won't let you watch it because they don't want you to get any ideas from Bart's bad behavior, right? Is that about right? Did I capture that? No, like I don't watch the show, but it's been on for 36 years. 36 years, that's crazy. Which means when it first came on, I was younger. Way, way, way younger, right? So anyway, but here's a picture. The next picture, if you could throw that up. All right, so there's this episode where the band Spinal Tap comes to Springfield. And, of course, Spinal Tap is a fictional-ish band, I suppose, right? But in the show, one of them gets supposedly blinded by a laser light, right? And the show ends abruptly with the band announcing, "Good night, Springton. There will be no encore." Good night, Springton, there will be no encore. Like, it was this kind of classic spoof on the idea that the band doesn't even really know the name of the town they're in, because it's Springfield, not Springton. But good night, Springton, there will be no encore. So I got to thinking about that idea. There will be no encore for Easter. And how it applies to us in a lot of different ways. Wait, we can pull that picture down. Yeah, let's move on from that. Thank you. Thanks, Jordan. All right. So a lot of different ways that this idea comes out. First of all, none of us never really get an encore in life. Like, when it's over, it's over. Scripture says that humanity, we as people, are appointed once to die, and then we face judgment based on whether we believed in or trusted in Jesus. Like, we get no second chances. There will be no encore. A second way that it applies is that Scripture says that we'll be rewarded based on our works done in faith, right? We aren't saved by our works. That our good works don't get us to heaven. Only faith in Jesus can save us. But the works that we do that are of faith, that are built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, will be rewarded, 1 Corinthians 3 tells us. Like, we have this life to live, and then it's on into eternity. So what we do, what we make of this life, is really important. We need to make the most of every moment, because when this life is over, there will be no encore. The third thing is this: Jesus lived his life that way, like there would be no encore. Right? His life was completely surrendered to God the Father. Scripture tells us that he was like us in every way. He was even tempted in every way like we are, but he never sinned. He never did anything wrong. He never did anything that was contrary to the heart of God. He followed God's commands completely. Like, he lived a perfect life, something none of us could ever do. He lived like there would be no encore. And then, of course, we know that he gave his life as a sacrifice for us on the cross, because it was what God needed him to do to make us right with God. And what he accomplished made a way for us to be right with him forever, once and for all. And so while there's a lot of different ways that this idea of this phrase, there will be no encore, applies to our lives and Easter, for me, the idea that stands out the most of all is that Jesus died once and for all. He doesn't need to do it again. There will be no encore. Right? It comes from a verse in Hebrews. Hebrews 10:10 says this, "And by that will," talking about the will of God, "we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Right? We've been made perfect in that sense. We're being perfected in that sense. Sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ when he died on the cross once for all. So now, instead of having to perform the religious rituals and offer sacrifices for the temporary forgiveness of sin, which God's people have been doing for centuries, Jesus gave his perfect life once, one time, to make us right with God for all time, and for all people who would put their faith and trust in him. One sacrifice, Jesus died once, one time, for all people, and for all time. There will be no encore. And there really isn't a need for an encore. Because what Jesus did when he died on the cross, it was perfect. It was complete. And it was final. Like, there's nothing more he has to do. That's why one of the last things Jesus said on the cross was this: "It is finished." It is finished. In John 19:30, it says, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It's finished. A powerful statement, right? With a whole lot of significance. "It is finished" meant that the sufferings and the agonies that Jesus was going through on the cross and leading up to the cross, he did all that to redeem humanity, but those sufferings and agonies were over. "It is finished" meant that the redemption that had been promised long ago, that had been expected and anticipated because God gave word to the prophets, it was now complete. "It is finished" meant that the hard work and the effort that Jesus put in, the persecution and the mocking that he endured, the emotional turmoil, the betrayal, the injustice he experienced, like that quote in the kids' video, we heard it at his heart, right? But that was finally over. It was done. It was finished. The work that God sent him out to do was complete, and nothing more would be needed. Jesus had accomplished everything God wanted, and there isn't anything or anyone that can undo the work that he's done. It is finished, and there will be no encore. But of course, we know that the cross itself was not the end of the story. We all get that? It's Easter. That's why we're here today, right? The show wasn't over because Jesus rose again on the third day. So we're going to take a moment, and I'm going to just read through Luke 24. The text will be on the screen if you want to turn there in your Bibles. If you have them, feel free, but the text will be on the screen. We're just going to hear that story from Luke's gospel account of Jesus rising from the dead. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Now that same day, two of them were going to the village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. And in addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. They urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told how what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet, it is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bones as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Now, I suppose that you could say, well, Jesus did have an encore since he rose from the dead, right? Like, I was talking with my sister Lisa the other day, and I mentioned that the theme was there will be no encore, and she said, well, wait, if Jesus rose from the dead, isn't that an encore? Valid. But I said, I'll address that question too, right? Now, if you think about it, a lot of artists these days, when they do a show, they don't even do an encore. Right, they just stay on the stage, and they say something clever like, well, this is the part of the show where we're supposed to go off the stage pretending we're done, and then you all stand here and clap and wait for us, and we go do something in the background, and then we come back out here and play the rest of our songs, because you all know that we have some good songs left, and how about we just skip all that and go right to the encore? They come back out, do a few more, and then the show is over. But you know what? Whether they go off stage or come back on or they stay on the whole time, even the encore is planned out, right? It's never really something that the artist just wings. It gets back up on stage. I don't know. I guess they want us to play some more. We don't have any songs left, but yeah, we'll figure something out. They all have something planned. It's already part of the show. I see the resurrection as something like that. Right? Follow me for a minute. Jesus, well, first of all, Jesus was not the only one who experienced being raised to life after death. Like, we read of others in scriptures, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Jesus himself raised three other individuals to life that we know of. Now, they all died physically again, eventually. But here's the thing. None of them ever predicted it would happen in advance. None of them ever said, well, yeah, I know I'm going to die, but I'm coming back to life. Jesus did, though. He called his shot three different times. It is recorded in Scripture, and the passage we just read talks about how he explained that to them. He had to go back and explain what he had said and what the Scripture said. We heard about it in that passage. It all pointed to this happening, which tells me this. Here's maybe our kind of key point for the day. Jesus' resurrection wasn't the encore. It was part of the plan all along. Jesus' resurrection wasn't the encore. It was part of the plan all along. It's just like a rock concert where the encore is a planned part of the performance. Jesus' resurrection was always part of God's plan, and Jesus knew it. Right? So take it a step further. Jesus not only predicted his death and his resurrection, he was the one who made it happen all by himself. Right? All the other resurrections we read about are because God, through someone, through Jesus, through a prophet, whatever, raised someone up to life. Jesus did it by his own power because he is God. He did it himself. Like he said himself in John 2, go ahead, destroy this temple in 3 days, I will raise it up. He was talking about himself. Or in John 10:8, it says, no one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. Because this charge I've received from my Father. And so Jesus not only predicted his resurrection, but he raised himself from the dead. That's some next level stuff. As if being raised from the dead wasn't like a high enough level already. He predicted it, and he did it himself. And then, of course, after he rose, he appeared to many people to prove it. Paul writes that Jesus appeared to over 500 people at one time to prove he was alive. 500 people at one time. Now, Jesus didn't have to appear. He still would have been alive. But he did it so that we could know for certain that he had power over sin and over death. Like, yes, he really did rise from the dead on the third day. He did make appearances to many to prove he had conquered sin and death. And all of that was part of the plan from the beginning. Jesus' resurrection wasn't the encore. It was part of the plan all along. But you know what? No one was standing and clapping for him or crying for more after Jesus died. Like, they weren't holding candles or some little mini torches or whatever they would have had back then, waiting for him to take center stage one more time. Because no one really believed it was going to happen, that he was going to rise on the third day, even though he had predicted it multiple times, even though he said it, even though it was backed up in all the scriptures, no one believed he was coming back. But he did. And then there's this, after he appeared many times to his followers, we read about this in Acts chapter 1. It says, and when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven, as he went, behold, two men, angels, stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. So a lot of people didn't believe he would rise from the dead, but he did. And similarly, many people don't believe he's coming back again, but he will. He will do that too. Everything will come to an end for each one of us, either when our lives are over or when Jesus comes back. And when he does, it's all over. There will be no encore. And so I think it's important this morning, as we're talking about Easter, that we should make sure we are passionately following Jesus, pursuing Jesus, trusting Jesus, obeying Jesus, living for Jesus each and every moment so that we are ready to meet him however that day comes for us. So two things I want to pray about or for this morning as we close up the message time here. The first is this: if you have never put your faith in Jesus, or maybe you did once but you find yourself kind of running from him or drifting from him these days, the call is to turn your heart back to him. Turn your heart back to him. He's a God of mercy and grace who's longing for you to return. Like the story of the prodigal child who wandered off, wasted his life, came back begging, but the father was longing for him to come back. Jesus is longing for us to turn to him, to come back to him. And don't wait on it either, because you only have this one life. Right? You only have this one life. When it's over, it's over. There will be no encore. So if that's you this morning, I'm going to pray for that. But second is, if you're someone here, and I think most of us are, who have put your faith and trust in Jesus, remember that you have a limited amount of time. Just like Jesus told his disciples, you are his witnesses. You're my witnesses. That means everywhere you go, you are an ambassador of hope in this world. you and I are called to share the truth, the hope, and the love of Jesus with everyone. That's our mission. As long as we're breathing, we have only this life to live. There will be no encore. We need to make the most of that. So wherever you're at this morning, I want to take a moment and pray. Worship team can come back up. We're going to close with a few more songs. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you first and foremost for your gift of Jesus, the one who we're gathered here for this morning. This just isn't a holiday to come together like any other Sunday, but we're remembering what Jesus has accomplished for us on the cross, making a way for us to be made right with you. And Lord God, for those who might be here this morning who have never taken that step of faith, we know that you're inviting them to come. For those who have taken that step but maybe have wandered off from you, we know that you're inviting them to come back. To come back to you, to turn to you, to trust you, and to follow you. And if that's you this morning, just you're ready to come back, you're ready to turn back to Jesus, I invite you just to pray this prayer in your heart as I say it out loud. Lord Jesus, I do believe that you died for me, that you gave your life on the cross for me to forgive my sins and to make me right with God, and I want that forgiveness. I want that relationship with you. I surrender my life to you. I come to you, or I come back to you this morning. Thank you for what you've done. And then for those of us who have been following Jesus for a while, we know that we only have a limited amount of time. And so I pray, God, would you give us that passion and that energy and that, just that vision to live out the mission that you've called us to help others know the truth of who you are. When you rose from the dead, it was this good news that you had conquered sin and death, and everybody needs to know that good news. And you have said to your disciples that they are your witnesses, but that is true for us too. We are your witnesses. We've seen the good things that you do. We ask that you give us strength and power to move into our world to bring hope, truth, and love of you to everyone that we encounter. Help us to live that out, but help us to speak that out as well. Because it's news, it's a message the whole world needs to hear. Help us to not give in to fear, but to be willing to take steps of faith, because there is only so much time. And that for all of us, when this life is over, it's over. There will be no encore. But you've accounted for all of that. And so we entrust ourselves to you. We thank you for what you've done. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.